you guys. Welcome back to my Flickers of Fear show. This is where I review various movies. Now, I know that I said that I was going back to the winter movies in January, but again, I feel like I did it the last couple times and then I was just like, fuck it. I can't do it. And there's too many like movies that I want to do that I really need to get to, and not all of them are winter themed. I did kind of want to do that, but it's very sporadic, so you know, sorry about that. So this movie, actually, this was one that really flew under my radar. Actually, I think it flew under a lot of people's radar because I really don't see that much. I mean, there's some reviews of it, but I don't think it really got anything approximating a wide release or anything. And that's kind of a shame because this is actually not a bad little movie. Now, I heard about it because a few weeks back, or later, right around Christmas, when I reviewed the 2003 movie Dead End, that movie has Lin Shaye in it, like playing the mom. And somebody on the comments of that video said, oh, you should watch this movie from 2019 called Room for Rent, because Lin Shaye is kind of like, you know, the main character, and not a lot of people have seen it. So I was like, well, that actually sounds pretty good. So I went ahead and watched it because it was on Tubi for free. And as I said, this is not a bad little movie at all. I don't know. I guess it's kind of like horror adjacent. I would call it more like a psychological thriller, sort of like maybe along the lines of like Single White Female, or, you know, something, or Pacific Heights or something like that, like about like a creepy landlord type situation, but not really any horror elements maybe until the end. But honestly, I think this is a really, really good character study, and Lin Shaye is great in it. I mean, she just pretty much carries the whole movie. Now, the movie is quite short. It's only about an hour and 20 minutes long. But honestly, so it does kind of feel like it moves along like at a really good kind of, you know, pace, or a really quick pace. And maybe it could have been a little bit longer, like 10 or 20 minutes longer, just to like flesh out some of the other characters a little bit more. But honestly, that didn't really bother me all that much. I mean, this is Lin Shaye's show pretty much. There are a few other characters, but not all that many. So I think pretty much the only place that this sort of got a wide, or, you know, got a lot of people to see it, was at the Sedona International Film Festival, like in early 2019. And I believe this movie was shot in Sedona, Arizona as well. I mean, it looks like Arizona, but please correct me if I'm wrong about that. So what this movie is about, it was directed by Tommy Stovall. I'm not really sure. I think he's done a couple of other kind of indie films, but I haven't seen them. So what this movie is about, Lin Shaye plays this woman named Joyce. And at the very beginning of the movie, her husband dies in what is ostensibly an accident. And it looks like he was up there, like, on the roof trying to fix something or do something on the roof, and he slipped and fell off, and he died. So that happens, like, pretty much in the very first scene. So after that, she seems like she's kind of, you know, shell-shocked, as you would be. And as it turns out, she kind of has... This is an interesting, and it's, again, this is another one, and I don't really want to spoil a lot about it because it's not really that old. You know, it only came out in 2019, and I feel like maybe a lot of people haven't seen it, and honestly, I don't know why, because Lin Shaye is, like, particularly in the horror community, is so well-known because of her, you know, with being in big franchises and stuff, but this is another one that just kind of, like, went under the radar, so I don't really want to spoil all the twists and turns, but, again, if I'm going to talk about it, you know, I'm going to have to inevitably, like, spoil a few plot points. Otherwise, I won't be able to talk about it at all. But, yeah, so she seems like kind of, you're not really sure. Let's put it this way. You're not really sure how much of what she says or how is accurate. Let's put it that way. She's kind of like, I don't want to say unreliable narrator, because she's not narrating it necessarily, but she's maybe not mentally stable. So you're not entirely sure if some of the stuff she says is true or not. So let's just put it that way. So after her husband dies, you can tell she has some ambivalent feelings about it. Because as I said, she seemed like she's sort of like shocked because it was sudden. But she also seems like she is kind of like maybe glad he's dead a little bit. In the sense that, well, there's one scene where she's at the funeral, and I think the only person at the funeral is, like, the nurse of, like, her neighbor, who's like a friend of hers, I guess. And so there's no one else at the funeral. So that kind of suggests some things too, you know, whether this was a likable dude or not. I think his name was Fred, like the husband. Now she finds out that Fred didn't leave. He only had one account left and it only had $2,200 in it, but he had also taken out loans and he still owed $6,000 on the loans. So she's pretty much left with nothing, like with no money, and she still has to pay for the house and all this other stuff. Now you see her kind of early on doing some shit, like she goes in his study and she's like putting, like, she has the big urn, like, with his ashes, and she's just kind of, like, she doesn't seem to know where to put it, and, like, she just kind of chucks it in a bottom drawer, and, like, she opens up this other drawer, and there's, like, kind of all these porn magazines and stuff, and she just, like, disgustedly, like, throws them in this other drawer. So you can tell she's got some real ambivalent feelings about this, and honestly, and this is, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say this or not, because maybe it's a spoiler, but all right. So I'm going to say I'm not entirely sure. And the movie never tells you whether the husband's death was actually an accident or not. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So she's been left by this dude with no money and needs to find a way to make some. So she's in the library one day checking out her very favorite romance novel. That's kind of another thing that is sort of a through line throughout the movie, is that she's really into this whole fantasy-based, all these kind of like smutty romance novels. And she's like at the library and the librarian's like, oh, you've checked this one out before. And I'm like, damn, nosy bitch. She's like, yeah, I really like this one. It has a happy ending. So she's read that one like 3 or 4 times. Now, while she's in the library, she sees something that's like an ad for, it's essentially Airbnb, but they can't call it that. So I guess it's ShareBnB or something like that. Now, because she's an old person, she doesn't know what that is. So it's like kind of funny. Like the thing about her character in this is that it's funny because she's clueless, like she doesn't really know how anything works. She doesn't know what Airbnb is. She doesn't know how to use apps on a phone or anything like that. She doesn't know what, I don't think she even knows what app means. So it's kind of like, you know, an okay boomer kind of thing where you're just kind of like, okay, get with the program, grandma. But you also like feel a lot of sympathy for her. Because as the movie goes on, you figure out that maybe her husband wasn't the nicest dude, and she does seem like a nice lady who means well. She's just kind of out of it, or she's very sheltered, and so you kind of feel bad. And she, like, she has some shitty things happen to her later on, it's just like bullying and stuff like that, which I'll get into, but so you actually do kind of feel sorry for her. I will say that I'm not sure like what your your capacity for this is, but because she's so likable, but also because she's kind of like pitiful, it's almost like it's really like kind of cringe inducing, like to watch her character for the first probably half of the movie, just because you feel kind of terrible that she's kind of having to go through all this stuff and she's not real savvy about things, you know, which I'll get into in a little bit too. So I was kind of like watching it and I was kind of like looking at it like that because I was like, oh man, I was like, so I know it's a movie, but I was like, so kind of embarrassed for her, like embarrassed for her character, because I'm like, holy crap, oh my god, that's like so sad. So it's a really good performance because she has this like real psychological complexity to her where as it goes on and you're kind of determining that maybe she's not as truthful as she might have been, or maybe she's not as mentally stable as you thought she was, maybe she's not as well-meaning as you thought she was, it kind of gives you like these conflicted feelings about her because she does seem like a nice lady that can't really help being like that. So it's just kind of like, it's like I said, it's a really good psychological, like a character study of her. So she decides, well, she figures out, I think she calls it, she says, what's a BNB? Because it's like BNB. She doesn't know what that is. So she's like, oh, I get it. So she looks it up on her computer and she's like, oh, that's a good idea. Because now she has all these spare rooms. So she decides she's going to open up her house as an Airbnb or a ShareBnB, whatever. Same thing. And so it immediately jumps to her doing exactly that. Now, there are a couple of scenes in here, too, where they show her kind of like walking to the store. I mean, she's kind of like, she has one cat whose name is Boodle, who's a black cat, who's adorable, by the way. And thankfully, nothing bad happens to the cat. And honestly, the cat's kind of like cool because the cat's real chill, and this little black cat is like laying on the bed and the thing, just being like, "Yeah, I'm a cat," and I'm just kind of like, "Look at that adorable cat." I get like fucking distracted by cats in movies all the time. But I'm just very happy to report that nothing bad happened to Boodle. So don't worry about it when you, because as soon as I saw Boodle, I was like, "Oh no!" I was like, "Something bad's gonna happen to that kitty," but nothing does. So you know, this, so don't worry about that. So she kind of like has to walk back and forth like to get cat food and whatnot. And there's these scenes in there where, you know, her card's not working and like she has to pay with change. And I was like, oh no. And it's like, and you could see like the girl behind the counter going, oh, fuck me. You know what I mean? Because look, I've been behind those people too that had coupons for 40 bajillion things and had to pay with rolls of pennies or fucking change they got out of their couch or something. And it's just, you know. So I kind of felt bad because I was like, yeah, I'd hate to be that person that was like checking her out or that was behind her. But then again, you feel kind of bad for her too because her husband essentially like took all her money and then croaked. So there was that whole issue. So one day when she's coming back from the store, there's kind of these teenagers that hang out at this sort of like skate park that's like right in her neighborhood. And I guess they kind of know who she is because she's lived there a long time. And so every time she walks by, they start like harassing her. And honestly, at one point, it gets like really bad. Like one of the kids essentially like just grabs her and is like trying to, you know, pull up her skirt and all this other kind of stuff. And this is like a 70, 75-year-old woman. And so these kids are just like the fucking worst. So you feel bad for her then too because she's getting like, you know, bullied and essentially like sexually assaulted by these fucking teenage boys at this park. So that's like another shitty thing. So she opens up her Airbnb, and her first customers are this couple whose names are Sarah and Edward. And Sarah has come there. They're on vacation in Arizona, and she's been thinking about writing a book. And since it's set in Arizona, she's like, "Oh, I wanted to stay here for a couple weeks and get a feel for the place, so you know, so I could take notes or whatever." Her boyfriend Edward is a gigantic like douche canoe, and is real hostile like right from the beginning. He's like, "You know, I don't want to stay here. Why are we even doing this? Let's go to a hotel." Blah blah blah, and he's just really cranky. Now, you can understand because, as I said, Lin Shaye's character, Joyce, she doesn't know like what the parameters of running an Airbnb are. So she essentially treats these people like they're her kids or like guests in her house rather than like paying. You know what I mean? So she'll like, she puts them in a room and then she comes up and just like opens the door. "Hey, I made you some cookies." You know what I mean? And he's like, "This is our room. Like, why are you made?" It's like she doesn't really understand the boundaries. You know what I mean? So obviously the boyfriend is pissed off about it. Him and the girlfriend have a fight, but Sarah feels bad for her, and they sort of like strike up a little bit of a friendship, like once they kind of start talking. Because like I said, Sarah feels bad, and so she feels bad that her boyfriend is such a douche, so she kind of like tries to be nice to the older lady, and they, like I said, they sort of strike up a friendship. Now, only a day or two pass, the boyfriend says, "Okay, I got us a better place, we're getting the fuck out of here." But Sarah feels bad for kind of leaving Joyce in the lurch. So as the story goes on, Sarah actually corresponds with Joyce, like she starts like writing her letters and stuff. Now, after that, Joyce decides that this Airbnb thing is maybe not working out, but she's gonna start renting out the rooms like as apartments, you know what I mean? So she kind of like, you know, fixes a couple of the rooms, the spare rooms up, and her, you know, Fred, her dead husband, like fixes up his study as a spare room, and so is gonna rent them out like longer term. Now, the guy that she gets to do this, she's at the library again, getting another one of her romance novels. And she sees a guy who is obviously, who's this kind of like smoldering foxy type of dude, but you can tell too that he's kind of like a bad boy type, which, you know, is weird for me to say because he's like, you know, probably in his 30s. But he looks like he's been in a fight a little bit, like he's got like a little bit of a cut on his forehead. So he looks a little bit rough, but you know. But Joyce is just kind of like, ooh, you know what I mean? Even though this dude is like young enough to be her grandson, probably. Maybe son, maybe grandson. I'm not entirely sure what the age difference is. But so she sees him in the library, like looking at the board, like looking for a room. And she comes over and she goes, "Oh, I know that place. They're not renting anymore, but I have a room. So why don't you come?" And he's just like, "Okay, you know, I just got into town and I need a place to stay." So his name is Bob, which is short for Roberto. And He's, like I said, he's kind of like, you know, he rides a motorcycle. No one's entirely sure what he does for money. But he seems like a nice dude. Now, as this goes on, Joyce develops a very strange, very inappropriate crush on him. Let's put it like that. Like a sexual interest. And so she starts, you know, kind of dressing up in sort of like sexier clothes, like tottering around in high heels in the house and putting like ribbons in her hair and stuff. And, you know, she's always making him food, and she pays for this expensive satellite thing so he can watch football because she heard that he liked it. So she's kind of like building this like delusional fantasy, much like in her romance novels, where this guy is like this decent man and he's going to come and save her. And like I said, even though he's way younger, now he is like really nice to her. He's kind of like a little bit, you know, cause like boundaries and stuff. Cause she does like kind of go in his room like, oh, I'm going to wash your sheets. And he's like, yeah, do you need to do that every day though? Like why are you coming in my room all the time? So, but he's trying to be nice to her because like I said, she seems like a nice lady. She seems well-meaning, but she's just real invasive and she doesn't really seem to understand why people are kind of like pushing her away. But she starts, like I said, she was still has a correspondence with Sarah, like the girl that stayed there before. And she starts like making up this whole relationship between her and Bob. And she doesn't say it outright, but she kind of like implies that it's sort of like a romance. But she doesn't say like how old Bob is or anything like that. But she just says, oh, we spent all this time together and this, that, and the other. And so she does like these voiceovers where she's, you know, saying the letter. And then like in the movie, they're showing what's actually happening in that Bob just has no fucking idea. He's just, it's just like a room he's renting and he's not really all that worried about it. So there's that, you know, she's like, oh, I went for a ride on his motorcycle and stuff, even though she never did. And so later it happens. So this kind of whole uncomfortable situation is developing, and it is very uncomfortable, and it gets even more uncomfortable like as it goes on. But then it sort of like comes to a head a little bit. So it turned out that the talks she had with Sarah, Sarah had been persuaded to leave her douchebag boyfriend. And she's like, oh, I'm gonna be in town, like in Arizona, like doing something else. And I was just gonna drop by like an hour and see you. So she does drop by, and at that point she meets Bob and sees that Bob is not exactly what she expected. So yeah, so from there, like I said, I don't want to spoil it anymore from there, but you know, shit starts to get a little complicated like after that point. So as I said, this is a pretty short movie. It's not outright horror, like it's not real gory or anything. You know, it's not real scary or anything, because a lot of it's like, you know, daylit Arizona sunlight and everything like that. It's kind of more like a psychological study. But man, Lin Shaye is so good in this. She's so good in this that I was just like, I was watching her the whole time. Like I said, the whole beginning of the movie, like where she was doing stuff like, you know, coming into her Airbnb couple's room, like with cookies, like without knocking and stuff. Because she figures, oh, it's my house and they're just staying here. So she's almost kind of like treating them like her children, even though they're grown adults. And like her doing stuff like that, just the whole time I was like, oh God, like it was just so awkward to watch. She was just so, so fucking awkward. And it just kind of gets more like that, but then it starts getting more disturbing as you realize as the movie goes on that she's kind of become untethered from reality a little bit. And then you're kind of thinking, and the movie kind of leaves this ambiguous, how long has she been like that? You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, you know, was she pushed over the edge by her husband's death, you know, or the bullying, like the sexual assault or whatever that she went through with the teenagers, you know, did that just like push her into thing, or was she like that before? Because we don't know what she was like before. So she might have been like this the whole time. And as I said, there's different characters in there that she's told various things to about her husband or about like a kid that she had or something like that. And you never know, like, if what she's saying is true or not, because there's some stuff that happens that other people, like, contradict that maybe would have known better. So you're not really sure, like, what, you know, how mired in reality she is, or if she just lives in a complete fantasy land, and if she's always been like that, or if that was like a new development. So yeah, this is actually a really good, like I said, don't expect like a horror. It's more like a psychological study, you know, kind of like your kind of scary renter type of, I don't know. It's kind of reminded me, like I said, of Single White Female, or not as campy or like over the top as that. More, I don't know. It kind of reminded me a little bit of One Hour Photo or something like that, where it was just kind of like a character study of somebody that sort of becomes inappropriately obsessed with somebody and is just like a really, really awkward person who maybe has an entire fantasy life that they have going on that nobody else like knows about. So it's that kind of movie, but it's really, really decent, really worth watching. Like I said, it's pretty short. It's only about an hour or 20 minutes, something like that. And you can watch it for free on Tubi, at least as of this recording. So hell, if you're a fan of Lin Shaye, then you probably need to see this because this is a, you know, it's kind of her show. She's like the main character. She's in the whole thing. And it's great. She's great in it. And she should really do more of these kind of like big leading roles, I guess. But yeah, it's interesting how this came out a couple years back and didn't really get a lot of traction despite how kind of famous she is, particularly in the horror community. But, you know, that's kind of a shame, but shit happens, so you know how that is. But yeah, go to Tubi and watch it if you're a Lin Shaye fan, and I'm pretty sure you will enjoy it. If you have seen it, let me know what you think about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.